Okay, so we're up to, so yesterday we did Parayachag, right? We said Parayachag is to reflect. The idea of Mahadran and Mahadran is, according to all the Shittas, is that in the Mitzvah is Pirsum, and it's a Kiyam to reflect the concept about the Pirsum. So Parayachag brings the, because of the Parayachag is Keneged Umas Olam. It's for the Goyim, so it's, you want to reflect the concept that Pirsum is really for the world. It's not just, it's for the Umas Olam as well. And it's not just for Klal Yisrael. So it takes away, it makes the Pirsum not just like a nationalistic thing, but reflects the idea of Kiddush Hashem is really knows no bound, and it applies to all Bnei Adam. So the way that, just like we, the idea of Kapara, and we are our vote in the Beis HaMikdash, is not only for the Jews, but it's for the Goyim, because the Beis HaMikdash is Beis Yisrael Chal HaAmim. And our mission is vis-a-vis the Olamim. So our mission of Pirsum Hanes and Kiddush Hashem is vis-a-vis the Olamim. So it's a kiyum that in the Pirsum you reflect the idea, the scope of Pirsum. So the way you do that is according to Hashem, at the end of the days that you do going down, which reflects the Parayachag. But we're up to Beis Hillel, which is Ma'an L'Kodesh Lom Aridim. Okay, the Beis Hillel, it's, this, in theory, based on what we're doing, we're looking for an idea, which is the Pirsum, which this reflects. So what is the idea of Ma'an L'Kodesh Lom Aridim, and how is it applicable here? Right, that was a question you asked yesterday, Daniel asked yesterday, is that just having more candles, why is that Milam? Why is that more? And as I understand, going from Kedusha, whatever, to a higher level of Kedusha, the levels of Kedusha. But just to go, to have more candles, why is that Milam altogether? Why is that Milam? Just doing more nights. And it's also, it's like, it's in between nights. Is that like a phenomenon even? Like last night I did once, now I do two, now I do three. I mean, they're separate mitzvahs. Here's the mitzvahs tonight. So it's hard to understand exactly. I mean, what would be wrong if I lit 1, 1, 1, 1? In other words, if you can tell me that I had this halacha, my question written, so I shouldn't be allowed to do an Erev Shabbos. I should have to do 1, 1, 1 every night. I can't do 1, 1, 1 because I have to go up. Because my question mechayiv, you know, so. Right, or it should be an Issa, or certainly an Issa according to Beishamai. I mean, I think so far we've been successful in the sugya by showing that all these different reasons that this mitzvah is not a normal halachic thing. I mean, because again, if it's a normal principle, then it's not mahadran or mahadran. I mean, whenever you apply Ma'al Mekodesh, it's not mahadran or mahadran. Ma'al Mekodesh is just a principle; it's a halacha. So we've been successful so far, I think, is in saying is that all the ideas, these reasons are that mahadran or mahadran is that since this is piersum, which is kiddush Hashem, so it's a key in that the manner in which you do the piersum underscores a concept in the idea of Pearson. So one idea was like the idea that the quantity of the nace is one idea, or the other one was the idea that a nace is always for a tzorach, for a purpose. Another idea is that the Pearson is for the entire world. So it could be, and this is the one part of the sugya which just follows is just under normal principles. But I mean, it would seem to indicate to the fact that this is the way the sugya has been going, that this is not an ordinary halachic mechanism of, but it's a matter of you want to do mahajim and mahajim, you want to reflect an idea, so this is an appropriate idea to point to. There's a right precedent, there's a concept of Ma'al Mekodesh. But not because you're bound by the technical halachic grips of mahajim and Ma'al Mekodesh. And then, I'll tell you also, then the other, is if that were the case, then you wouldn't be allowed to go like Beishamai. Remember those the Kenim and Sidon, because then it's really a regular halacha. It means you have to do it this way because you're a Ma'al Mekodesh. But you see, then the halacha would be like Beishamai Beis Hillel. It's a regular halacha question. You go like Beis Hillel, and you wouldn't be allowed to do like Beishamai. But you see, those the Kenim did do like Beishamai. So if you hold that it's a regular, that Beis Hillel, that if you're doing Mahajim and Mahajim, then you are bound by the principle of Ma'al Mekodesh. So that's, and Beishamai says, no, you're not bound by it, and because Parayachag, so that's a halacha, it becomes like a regular halacha question. Although the platform is Hidor, but it's, once you're doing the Hidor, you should be, coming to the grips of a normal halachic principle, and then you should say halacha like Beis Hillel, even in order to go like Beishamai. But if you learn that it's just that it's a concept which is, Ma'al Mekodesh is reflecting, as opposed to Parayachag reflecting a different concept, then you say you could choose which concept. And then, as Rav said, it's just Hidor, and you could go whichever idea you're moved by. Okay, so I'm thinking like this, that perhaps the idea of Ma'al Mekodesh is that Kodesh is a vehicle of Maila, of going up, which means that the mitzvos are a tool of perfecting a person, and bringing a person up, right, rising him to a higher level. That's a soda, fundamental principle of mitzvahs. That mitzvahs lead a person towards higher levels. That through the mitzvahs, you're moved by the ideas of a mitzvah, and you're moved to do a greater, a higher level of mitzvah, higher level of kedusha, closer to God, gain more knowledge. So that's and not the opposite. I mean, you don't do a mitzvah, and as a mitzvah, you're on a certain level of a knowledge, a certain level of an idea, and then you go to a lesser level, is a counter to the concept of the way the Torah works on a person. So if you have something, for instance, if you take your money and you end up buying a Sefer Torah with it and you're using it for the highest level thing, and then to take it and to demote and to go to a lesser level of Kedusha is a counter to the idea of the way the Torah works and the way the mitzvahs should operate. The mitzvahs should operate to bring you to a higher level. So in general, in terms of nihag also, if you're doing one mitzvah, if you're doing a sequencing mitzvah, so you don't want to start by a higher mitzvah, which reflects a high idea, and then go to a lesser mitzvah. On the contrary, there's a progression in mitzvahs where you go from lower to higher because the mitzvahs move a person and perfect a person. So I'd say similarly here, So first of all, we mentioned one idea before, which I think is still relevant, is that the candles, more candles is better, because this is piersum. So piersum is publicizing, and the more light is a greater publication. And it's a greater act of publicizing the miracle the more candles you have, because it's more public, it's a greater display, it's more visible. So the idea is like, so to speak, a person, the first night he lights a candle. Okay, and then he's excited, so to speak. I'm talking a little descriptively, but the person is excited about the miracle, and he thinks about it, and he's moved by it, that the next night he wants to do a bigger display. He wants to do more two candles, and then he's moved, and the next day he does more candles. And as he works his way up, the experience of the mitzvah should move a person, and the piersum, the idea of the piersum, the concepts which piersum brings to his mind should cause him to realize the reality of God, and the miracle should become should be present in his mind, then he should thereby be moved towards doing a greater and greater, greater and greater piersum. Which is the idea that you're ma'ala in the candles. If you go down, it would be like you're starting off by the biggest piersum, the greatest piersum, eight candles, a huge big display, and then you start working your way down, and you're lesser and lesser and lesser and lesser. That's counter to the whole idea of what happened. It's got boring, you're not interested in anymore, now you go into a lesser value, Now, one other point is that it could be that there's a significant idea that and this is a little bit more conjecturous here, but there's a danger in piersum. Okay, there's a danger in piersum, in publicizing the miracle or publicizing God, Kiddush Hashem in general, in a person's involvement in publicizing God as if he's doing it for God. As if he's benefiting God, whereas the idea is that's totally against Torah. So the mitzvah, the Kiddush Hashem, although we're involved in piersum and Kiddush Hashem, in trying to sanctify God's name, it's not because God needs it or we're helping God in any way. Certainly not. Okay, rather that is the good for man. Whereas it's good for you and for all other men to be involved in an activity of publicizing God's name and towards being Mekadesh Hashem. So it's an important idea to reflect that the action of Kiddush Hashem is an action which perfects you and moves you closer to God and makes you desirous of being Mekadesh Hashem to a greater level. And the benefit, the idea in piersum is not because, like if you're publicizing a king, let's say you'd be publicizing about the king of whatever country you're from, that would be an action. The people who publicize their king is an action of service to the king and helping out the king, and that's the idea. So a person could mistake the idea of piersum hanes for that. That's what we're doing. We're publicizing God to help God out, to spread his name across the world so everyone knows about him, and this is somehow a service to God. So the thing is that it could be that if you were really servicing God, then you would do is probably eight every single night, or the maximum amount every single night. You wouldn't go up, because why should you start low? Start high and do high continually. Stay at the highest amount. That's the greatest publicizing. But the idea of going up, working your way up, and not just staying fixed, it indicates the idea that you're working, that the benefit is really to you. The purpose of the pirsum is a benefit to you. And so far as you grow as you do it, you're mala bekodesh. And the idea of one year moves you, and then next year you're two, and next year you're three. So that it underscores or points to the idea of the whole, the focus of pirsum, the benefit of pirsum to the individual, not to God. Exactly. For eight every night, it would be like a result-oriented thing. It's for God. You want God to be as public as possible, so therefore the best publicizing possible. Get the aid is the best thing, so do eight every night. Do 10, do 12, whatever. Do whatever it is. It should be whatever's the best. Do it every night. That's the way to service the king, is if you're servicing the king, you want to get his, you know. But if the idea is that it's a perfection for a person to be involved in Pearsome, and the nature of that perfection is that his involvement fosters a greater involvement and draws him into the ideas and moves him and perfects him and brings him to a greater height, so then that's the concept of Maila B'Kodesh. Once you're working your way up, points to that idea. So it points to the focus. That's why this idea is very relevant here. Is it points? It's a general principle in Kol Torah Kulo, which has halachic form to it, which I'm claiming is not applicable here for whatever reason, not in the sugya, but it doesn't apply halachically, as you see Beis Shammai's arguing with it. It's not a normal halachic mechanism here, but it's the concept of Ma'alim B'Kodesh Beis Hillel holds is of utmost importance to the Kimhajim and Ahajim, is that we're not just doing Pearsum, but we reflect the idea of Pearsum, which is that it's a perfection for man to be involved in Pearsum. You know, and Beis Shammai chooses, he doesn't disagree with that idea, of course, but he says there's a different idea which you could reflect, which is the idea of that insofar as we're doing Pearsum, we reflect the scope of the Pearsum. Okay, the idea of Pearsum is Kiddush Hashem in the entire world, to the Gaim as well. And that's part of our mission of Kiddush Hashem, is, of course, for us and for the people. But he says that you're reflecting a concept about the how great God is, that he's relevant to the entire world, and we're extending the Pearsum to the entire world. So they're two different ideas. So that's what it says, is that there are two guys in two Zakenim and Sidon, and each did his own way, and they explained that, well, this guy's explaining this because of Parachag, there's this idea, and this guy's explaining this because of this idea of Ma'alav Kodesh. I mean, but then that's what is, apparently the Rishon Rifas says you have a right to do either one, even though Vishal Mesel, they're two different ideas. So what I'd like to do now is the Ner Shabesa. We're going backwards here, but it's funny order. What? Yeah, we're being Mored. So, it's interesting, by the way, it's worthwhile keeping in mind this Ma'alav Kodesh, see if it works out in other sugyas or whatever. I mean, it's more like the idea behind it, so I don't know if it's going to be proven or disproven in any way, but it's something to keep in mind. It's a good, you know, it makes sense, it's a good idea. So back to Ner Ishubeisa. So the question is, so the basic mitzvah is Ner Ishubeisa. So which means, like Rashi explains, is to light one candle in every night. It's one candle in every house. For all the people in the house, just one candle. So the question is, it's a funny halacha, because everyone's presumably obligated in the mitzvah. I mean, who's obligated in Hanukkah? So everyone's obligated in Hanukkah. So if, for instance, so if I have a whole household, so let's say one's father lights for them in their household, they live in their house and their father lights. So, but what did I do? I didn't do the mitzvah. So you say, my father lit for me. Like, what does that mean, he lit for me? Do I have to appoint him? Is he like my shliach? Do I have to appoint him as my messenger? Or I don't, you don't. It's just, and do I have to tell him to light for me? I don't. If he lights, that's it. I fulfilled the mitzvah. So like, how does it, what did I do? Like, what's the formulation? What do I have to do? Do I have to light? Do I have to, what's the deal? Of course, it's hard to get, I mean, there's a certain sense to the thing, but like, to get a good formulation of the chiyuv in a way that this result ensues is a little tricky. You could try to say it's a chiyuv on the house, on the household. Right. But I mean, like you see a chiyuv on Beis Din, like a chiyuv on the unit of the court. But I feel like a court is a unit, is an entity of mitzvahs. Like, of course, is a household, yeah, is that like an entity of mitzvah? Like a household? It's like a mitzvah is on, like I'd say it's like on Klal Yisrael, on Klal Yisrael is a Beis Din, but it's a chiyuv is on a household. So the first step is, I think what Matt's trying to say is that I think this is the first step that I was taking, but also I think maybe there's a problem, but let's start with that. That the mitzvah is, I'm rephrasing a little bit, but the mitzvah is to define your bias as a, your bias of your house, as a bias shel pirsum, as a makom pirsum. That's your obligation, is that your bias has to be a vehicle of pirsum. And your obligation is to define your house as a vehicle of pirsum. So let's say you'd say that. So now, let's, again, I'm not, this isn't even a final formulation, but let's say you'd say that. So then Matt's point is, so let's say I come to my house and there's already a candle there. So it's already a bias shel pirsum. So what am I supposed to do? So it's done. Like that's the mitzvah, but lighting another candle isn't going to do anything. It's done. It would be like I have to define my house as a makom with mezuzah. Qualify my bias as a mezuzah. As living in a house obligates you to qualify your bias as a mezuzah. As a place of mezuzah. So it already has one. So what are you supposed to do? It's there. Right? Yeah. What bothers me is it's almost like accidental. You know, so it's like really I'm obligated to do it, but it's like onus, like I can't do it. What do you want me to do? So like let's say someone else came and lit the candle in your house. Okay? Now if you light a candle in someone else's house, you don't fulfill the mitzvah, right? That's a fact. You can't do the mitzvah by lighting someone else's house. So let's say someone else came and lit in your house. So then what would happen? I don't think the halacha is that if you already have a candle in your house, then you don't have to do it. It's not true. It's because someone in your household is lit for you. I mean, so it's not just because there happens to be a candle in your house already, you know, that...
Also,
what turned out funny is that it would turn out that if one person in the house lights, according to this argument, so then really only that person fulfills the mitzvah, and everyone else is just, well, whatever, I guess there's nothing you can do. So it just something bothersome about that. I mean, the mitzvah is, it turns out that only one person can do it, and then everyone else just is, left out with nothing to do. It's hard to believe. I mean, you don't want to think that everyone fulfills the mitzvah, right? That's a good question. That's probably a cute question. Then I'll say, if you say that it's everyone has a chivs, then if it goes out, so then the next guy should be obligated to do it. Because he's still obligated. He never fulfilled his obligation. It's just that there's nothing for him to do. So now there's something for you to do. Right? Let's leave this question. It's a good question. Leave it for tomorrow. And also, I want to take up, I don't have an idea yet. Hopefully, I'll get one later. But what's Mahadran? We didn't explain Mahadran yet. At the level of per household. Mahadran. And also, maybe I'll take up, we'll see what happens. But that question I mentioned yesterday, I think, what does Mahadran mean? Does Mahadran mean a hiddur mitzvah? Beautifying the mitzvah, or does Mahadran mean someone who seeks after a mitzvah? So it's different. So Rashi says it's someone who seeks after mitzvahs. And the Rambam and Tosfos say it's the Ran, he's a hiddur mitzvah. The Chiddush Ran is kind of like a tricky, kind of implies both.
A lot of different Kusos, even in the Rambam.
Oh, really?
And
oh, yeah? Yeah, so the question is, what's the... You can look at the Rambam also, the way the Rambam formulates Ne'er Shebeisa. Okay, that's a good idea, perhaps.